morning. Let us pray. Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom would we go? You have the words of eternal life. Open our ears, open our eyes, open our hearts, strengthen our wills to trust you, to follow you, and to honor you in our world. Amen. We've experienced, or I have, and I've felt quite deeply, not as much as my friend Gabe and not as much as Jacob Blake, that our world needs healing from so much, right? From sickness, from division and hatred and racism, from death and dying, from anger and unforgiveness. Fill in the blank. How would you answer that immediately? The world needs healing from, not to mention hurricanes and drought and locusts, and the world needs a savior. That's what I've been meditating on in preparing this and remembering John 3:16, right? You all know it, but also John 3:17. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And that's echoed in the next chapter of John when the Samaritan people, after hearing the testimony of this disreputable woman, they say, "This must be the Savior of the world." That's actually what Jesus was talking about in last Sunday's gospel, when he was talking with his disciples. "Who do people say that I am? But who do you say that I am?" And we heard, and Gabe led us through that engagement where you are the Christ. And Jesus delights in that and says, "Look, the Father has revealed this to you. You didn't figure this out. This is by revelation." And I don't know if you noticed, but that paragraph ended by saying he strictly charged them to tell no one that he was the Christ. And our gospel today picks up on that. It picks up on Jesus talking about what it meant that he would be the Savior of the world and how that would happen, what it meant. And so we heard Taylor read for us that from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples, interesting phrase, to show his disciples, to explain, describe, articulate, point to the places in Scripture, to show his disciples that it was necessary that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer, apparently be defeated and die. Oh, and on the third day, be raised back to life. They had no conception of what he was talking about. They had no clue. And so Peter, as we heard, Peter basically rebukes them. He says, "Lord, have mercy. God forbid, that cannot happen to you. He must suffer by the religious authorities, die and be raised." No categories for that. The Jews were awaiting a savior. They were awaiting the Christ, the anointed one, Israel's saving king, the one like a greater David who would come and save Israel. And those that knew their scriptures knew that Israel's savior king was also the world's savior king, not just theirs. Many of them, the majority of them, missed that. But none of them had a category for a suffering, dying Savior. It would be like me coming today and say, here's the answer. Here's the healing of the world. It's a hobbit and an elf and a dwarf and a wizard and an ant and oh, there's orcs in the story too. It's like, what? I finally, for the first time in my life, I'm reading Lord of the Rings. Yeah, I know. That's a confession, a repentance. But seriously, it would be like that. When he stood there and said, at that time, that was when he began to talk about his suffering and his death. At the very moment, the revelation that he was the Christ, the Savior, the King. It was crazy and offensive to them. But what it meant that he was the Christ, the Savior, King, meant for the disciples and for us was about as unintelligible and unacceptable as his revealing that he would suffer and die. He went on to say, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For a rabbi to say that in that context was literally as unintelligible and unacceptable as the Savior of Israel and the world would suffer and die. Take up a cross? Like become one of those people hanging on the side of the road? Threats to the Roman Empire? The world needs a Savior. And the world needs the Savior's people. But the way of the Savior is mysterious. It's beyond our understanding, and it's very costly to embrace. To take up one's cross, what could that have meant? It meant be all about another king and another kingdom. It meant don't acquiesce with the powers that be. Don't find your hope and trust if a better governor were to come into, or if some other great Jewish Hasmonean king or Maccabees or, no. It meant take a place against all the movement and the current of the powers of the world and all the answers they give and be willing, as he went on to say, to lose your life rather than putting your trust in that. Following Jesus meant, following the Savior meant being like him, walking in his footsteps, loving those who hate you, doing good to those who persecute you, blessing, praying, not returning evil for evil, speaking truth, and yet loving unto death. Really? I mean, that's like saying a hobbit is going to save the world. God so loved the world. God is pro-world. But we also have warnings in our scripture today about not seeking to gain the world at the expense of our souls and not being conformed to the world or conformed to this age. We are to love the world, the people of the world, just like God so loved the world. All that is good and true and beautiful in God's good creation. But we are sternly warned about being influenced and seduced by the systems of the world, the power structures of the world, the glittering beauties of the world, The world needs a savior. The world is not our savior. And that's part of the warning here, is the human tendency to trust in things of the world in the negative sense for relief, for hope, for a sense of purpose, for a way to get through. So in other words, a vaccine is not the savior. The right elected person is not the savior of the world. As much as we hope and long and work for racial reconciliation, that's not going to heal the world ultimately. It's a part of it. Please hear me right. I'm not in any way denigrating the need for healing in that area. NASDAQ is not the savior of the world. So as followers of the Savior, quickly jumping to, and I'll wrap up with Romans 12. Isn't it interesting that following this discussion about Jews and Gentiles and God's mysterious salvation of the world, go back and look at the end of chapter 11 in Romans. He says, therefore, in light of God's mysterious, unintelligible saving purposes, therefore, offer your bodies. Not offer yourselves, not offer your souls, not offer your mind. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Set apart for God, pleasing to God. Wow, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let God, the scriptures, the community, the church, the Holy Spirit be a part of renewing your mind, not all that the wisdom of the world opposed to God says. But then offering your body, this is where we come back to. Yeah, be a part of all those things that some human beings trust in for salvation. When Paul says, offer your gifts, your varying gifts, we're all made differently. We all have different motivations. Some are moved to lead. Some are moved to give. Some are moved to show mercy. Some are moved to teach. Paul says, use those gifts to help the healing of the world in this time. To be clear, the world will not be healed fully and finally until he comes again to judge the living and the dead, to make everything right and everything new. And his kingdom will never end, not until then. But in the meantime, we not only need the body of Christ, we not only need that broken and resurrected body that bore the sin and death and pain of the world to heal it. But God seems to be saying he needs the bodies of the Savior to be involved in his world, to be a part of his healing project, his restoration project. Not for gain, not for privilege, not for power, not for status, not for security, not for safety, but giving ourselves, even our very bodies, just as our Savior did. I don't understand it. I don't understand how God's going to do it. But I believe in this story. And I trust in a Savior who has promised to save and heal the world. And I join his movement, his team, his party, his plan. What about you? Thanks be to God.